Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by the Foundation at Hearst Castle, where donors and members experience exclusive events that recreate what it was like to be a guest of William Randolph Hearst, from swimming in the iconic Neptune Pool to dining in Hearst's private guesthouse overlooking the Pacific Ocean. The Foundation at Hearst Castle's ongoing mission is to support the conservation and restoration of Hearst Castle while offering youth programs for underserved students, preserving the past and inspiring future generations of dreamers. Discover how you can become a member by going to foundation@hearstcastle.com and learn how you can support this unique and invaluable mission.
Aubrey Preston, so good to see you again.
Great to see you.
Yeah, here we are in Leaper's Fork, Tennessee. A different world, a world apart, isn't it?
It really kind of is. It's close to Nashville, but it kind of operates almost like an island where you've been in those places where you ride out across a bridge and you get out on the island, and it's got its own time zone, kind mm-hmm. of a different time zone. So some people refer to it as Leaper's Fork Standard Time. Everything just a little slower out here.
So, Crows Fly, you're only, 45 miles from Nashville?
Probably closer than that. Probably 30 miles.
It feels like 100 miles.
Yeah.
It really does.
Yeah. Instead of going out across water to the bridge, you're going across a lot of preserved land and a lot of terrain that's protected from development. So that allows it to operate as kind of that island culture mm-hmm. thing. And a lot of music and arts. You know, we're sitting here in this incredible art gallery that's not only is it art for sale, this is a living, breathing place where artists come and learn and share mm-hmm. and grow. And
I don't know if you want to go there, but part of the reason Leaper's Fork is the way it is today is because of you and your foresight in buying up land surrounding to protect it from development. Is that true?
Well, that has been the interpretation of some other folks, and I hope that I've done my part to lead from the middle. It's a lot of people that, when we started here about 1995, kind of found each other and had this idea, maybe it's kind of a utopian kind of an idea, that we would have an area that if we banded together that would be permanent open space and we would be able to protect our land and our buildings and our history and therefore our identity against what some of us saw quite a while back as the big boom ahead. We had an interstate exit actually that was coming, an interstate loop was being built, and there was an exit proposed that would have kind of would have taken the area and potentially allowed suburban types of things to come in, which are fine if you want to be in the suburbs, but that was kind of the call to action out here, and people kind of panicked. And you know, as the old saying goes, never waste a good crisis. So there was a little bit of a crisis, and that got people moving, and we were able to band together and get like-minded people to come and buy a lot of the farms out here. And then we had one of our former governors that started something called the Land Trust for Tennessee, which is the big land trust that our state has now statewide. And in our family, we were the first to voluntarily extinguish our development rights around the little village of Leaper's Fork, and that inspired some other folks to do the same. And so we have the highest concentration of conservation easements in this area, and a conservation easement protects land permanently.
So that really explains why 20 years later Leaper's Fork is still a cute, walkable, friendly little village.
I believe that's true, and it's really coming into its own, really, for the idea of what we haven't done instead of what we have done here. Mm-hmm. As Nashville has exploded with development forces really taking over and big capital groups coming in and really moving faster than the cities can plan. Fortunately, we started 25 years ago planning for that, you know, kind of hope for the best, plan for the worst. And the economic boom has brought abundance and prosperity to our community, but it also brings a lot of unintended consequences. So it's turned out that we were right in taking some of the precautions, and we're happy that we have a community for the arts and creativity and raising families that's sustainable, mm-hmm. Right kind of an island in the middle of all of that boom.
Back in the day, there was a chain of little grocery stores, Puckett's.
Right.
And there was one here, which was like the mothership of Puckett's, right?
That's right. Little country grocery stores. And of course, like so many American things, those little mom and pop things, for a variety of reasons, they don't have the bench strength to keep going. As mass merchandising kind of scaled up, and the Krogers and the, you know, the Publixes and all of those kinds of groups make it harder for mom and pops to compete. Our little Puckett's grocery, little community store, you know, had a tough time competing. And so that little store has been repurposed to a music venue. And
so no more grocery items on the walls? All gone?
No, there's kind of pictures of that and some of the artifacts. But, you know, things change, and I believe our community has evolved with the times in a positive way. There is a new, brand new Kroger about 7 miles from here. So, and we have Whole Foods will actually deliver to our houses now. So, you know, as those things have changed, we have access to groceries, and now we have a really world-class music venue that was in what was Puckett's. Mm-hmm.
So it's been rebranded, renamed, okay. Right?
Right.
And you were honoring the past in that new name?
Right. So the original Puckett's Grocery that a lot of people know in Middle Tennessee, and there's actually a chain of restaurants that were inspired by this particular location. What a lot of people didn't realize was it got the Puckett's name actually in 1960 when it was sold to the Puckett's family. That building was actually started as Fox and Lock, named after some locals that lived here that actually started it in 1947. So this last year we went back to the original Fox and Lock name and are bringing that story back. And of course the locals have just absolutely loved it, particularly a lot of the older folks that remember that. They've been bringing us pictures and stories, and which has really strengthened the identity of our community, which is really a nice contrast to what happens when you have a community like this. We have a lot of people coming in from other places, and so often what happens is when those new people come in, the stories are lost and you lose your identity. Fortunately here, we're kind of digging down and strengthening our original identity and our stories as people are coming in. So I think that's a little bit of a rare occurrence that's going on nationally.
What changed inside Fox and Lock?
Well, what we've tried to do this year is actually get a good inventory of the things that really work and try to, you know, it's just one of those things of strengthening your strengths and minimizing your weaknesses and focusing the place like it hasn't been focused before. So one of the things that we did was you have to decide, are you a music venue or are you a restaurant? Well, we are both. We are a music venue, we are a restaurant, and we're a bar, we're a community space. But I think it's important when you're starting, to kind of strengthen a business like that to say, well, which are you first? And so we decided that we are an SMV, is what I coined to the staff. And they looked at me, and if it's an acronym, everybody thinks it's more important, you know? So kind of baited them into the idea that, well, we're an SMV. And they were like, well, what's that? And I'm like, a serious music venue. We've decided that we're a serious music venue that is supported by a good food and beverage operation, but we see ourselves as a performing arts facility first. That's helped a lot. So we've really, really doubled down on our stage and all of the equipment and all of the everything about booking. And of course, as we've done that, the level of talent has gone absolutely bonkers through the roof.
Well, I've heard of open night mics where these legends just pop in and jump up.
Oh, it happens regularly because of where we're at. I mean, we're kind of Malibu collides with Mayberry kind of a place. The place feels like Mayberry. It just feels like a lost in time circa 1900 little village. But from a music perspective, because we're kind of the darling of Nashville for a lot of the artists to live, and when their visitors, their friends come, we're kind of that little club, like, well, I suppose like the Troubadour would have been in California, mm-hmm. or some of those little small venues, probably like the Hard Rock Cafe originally was in London. Because they all live here, this is kind of their place they go to. So we'll have Carrie Underwood get up on the stage with a cover band and do cover tunes and just blow it out of the park. She did Stop Dragging My Heart Around there was a band in there that was playing Tom Petty covers, and she got up and did that, and she was just in there with her girlfriends having a girls' night out. And of course, we're kind of their go-to place that they like to go themselves. So that was fun. We have Wynonna showed up with her whole band at open mic on Thursday night.
Wow.
And we have our stage kind of plug and play ready. No sound check, anything. Wynonna gets up there with her full band, jumps up there and plays 4 or 5 songs.
You know, I gotta stick around more.
Yeah, we've just got amazing things can happen really quick here because of the proximity to where they're at, and they trust our venue, they trust our stage, that we know what we're doing at that.
Aubrey,
so it's a lot of fun.
We're getting the hook mark for out of here. So to learn more about Leaper's Fork and Fox and Lock.
Okay, go to foxandlock.com. Fox and Lock with an E. Fox, A-N-D, Lock.
Yeah.
LOCKE.com. And there's a list of events. Our shows are so hot that we usually don't announce them. We announce them maybe 2 or 3 weeks out because they sell out pretty quick. And our open mic is on Thursday night. We believe in helping young talent get their start with that too. So you can come to those kinds of shows, but come check it out. It's fun.
Awesome. Aubrey Preston, thanks for sharing. This is so great.
All right. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure. I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from Leaper's Fork, Tennessee. We'll see you here.
Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by the Foundation at Hearst Castle, where donors and members experience exclusive events that recreate what it was like to be a guest of William Randolph Hearst, from swimming in the iconic Neptune Pool to dining in Hearst's private guest house overlooking the Pacific Ocean. The Foundation at Hearst Castle's ongoing mission is to support the conservation and restoration of Hearst Castle while offering youth programs for underserved students, preserving the past and inspiring future generations of dreamers. These children experience a world of science, technology, engineering, art, and math at Hearst Castle, STEAM, along with studying the legacy of Julia Morgan, one of the most important women in the history of engineering and architecture. The Foundation at Hearst Castle not only changes the lives of children, but also provides lifetime memories and unrivaled experiences for our generous donors and members. Discover how you can become a member by going to foundation@hearstcastle.com and learn how you can support this unique and invaluable mission. You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer. Please support your local NPR station. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. If I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.
I'll be turning 33 next Friday morning. Friday morning 15 years ago, my grandfather called me to his bedside, and he told me there was something I should know. He said, don't stray too far from the land, boy. The land will one day set you free. When the cities all are dying, the folks up there are crying. The land will save you, wait and see. So I loaded up my car and moved to Denver to work a job and chase big city dreams. But I never found the life I really wanted till I came back home to Leaper's Fork, Tennessee. He said, don't stray too far from the land, boy. The land will one day set you free. When the cities all are dying, the folks up there are crying, the land will save you, wait and see. It didn't hit me quite as hard then as those words come through today. But in the chaos all around me, I can still hear Grandpa say, don't stray too far from the land, boy. The land will one day set you free. When the cities all are dying, the folks up there crying, the land will save you, wait and see.